How's everybody today? For those of you who went to church camp, are you tired out today?
No.
No, you ready to go for another week?
Yes.
Who'd like to still be there?
Me.
Yeah, I see a few hands out there. I didn't see the kitchen crew raise their hand. Some of them, they're looking a little thin by the fifth day. All right. Jimmy, you didn't know we were going to do this today, but here, sit closer to me. All right, I want you to read this verse 16 right there for me.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Every day at camp, we heard about Jesus, and then one day at camp, something happened to you. What happened to you?
I became a Christian.
Yes, sir. So we read this verse. What does this verse have to do with you becoming a Christian?
Because it says that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but he have eternal life.
And so what did you do?
Well, I accepted him.
As your what?
Savior.
That's right.
That's right. And were you happy?
Yes.
Are you very happy today?
Yes.
And what's your next step of the thing that you're going to do? What's your next step? You've already reminded Mr. Dane.
Can't remember.
Think now, think. Has to do with water.
Baptize.
That's right. That's right. That's the next thing. That's the next thing. And I want all of you to know. I know some of you children have already been baptized. You have asked Jesus into your heart. And you have received him as your Savior. James did that this week at camp. And we praise the Lord for that. And but I want y'all to know, if you have some questions about that, you can talk to your teachers back in Kid Zone, or you can talk to Mr. Dane or Mr. Rick or me about that, okay? All right? Well, we did something at camp that we had a lot of fun with when somebody accepted the Lord. There's another Jimmy here. Where's he? Oh, he's in the twos and threes. Is there one somebody would like to stand in for him? All right. Come on, little Jimmy. Come on up here, Bailey. Come on. So what did your daddy stand up and do when somebody accepted the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That, yeah, it's all coming back to you now.
Yeah,
all right. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for the blessing that they are to our lives. Lord, I pray for their young minds and hearts, Lord, that they'll be receptive to you. All that you want to speak to them today in Kid Zone, they'll hear, they'll understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jimmy. All righty, y'all can go to Kid Zone now. I'll tell you a little secret. We're looking at the prayer request. You know, each Sunday we showed you the big sticky note we put on the wall back in Kid Zone. Kids go through, Becky described this to you several weeks ago, to go through different zones. And one of the groups that they go through is a prayer group. And they write down their prayer requests. And just like you have those yellow cards that we pray over, they have the sheet with their prayer requests listed on it. And we pray, the pastors pray over those on Monday morning. Well, I stuck them in my Bible and stuff so I could carry them to camp with them. And got them out to pray over them at camp, and came down. There was one prayer request that was just
so special. It said, Lord, from one of the kids who shall remain nameless, please let camp go real slow this year. Now, that'll preach right there. Let camp go real slow this year so we can soak up every minute of it. Logan, I'll put you on the spot. Every year when we're driving away from camp before you could drive and you had to ride with the old man, we're riding out of camp, and what would we say together? That's right. 360 more days till church camp. Why do we look forward to it so much? We see the power of God. Passage I want to read to you today is kind of about camp and about what goes on there, what we see. I want to relate a passage of Scripture from the book of Acts. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Acts. It's toward the end of the passage, beginning in verse 37. So I'll try to describe this, put it in my words every year. And I know some of you have never been to any kind of church camp. So this is, you're depending on word pictures from other people. Some of you have been to camps, but you haven't been to this camp. Some of you have been to this camp, and each year you say, well, what's the big deal about? Well, the big deal is that God moves and God works, and it is a fantastic experience, and there is life change every time we gather there, every single time. It never fails. So I want to read this passage from Book of Acts, and I want to relate it to some things that I think happen while we're at church camp. Beginning verse 37. Now, this is after Pentecost is taking place. They have seen the Lord do marvelous things. The Holy Spirit has come in power, has baptized His church, and man, the gospel is going out, and miracles of transformation are taking place. Verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pierced in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? So when you see and you hear God move and work, you know, here's the question, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent each one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, what you see happening in these people that are sharing this word with you, the same can happen in your life. It's not an exclusive club. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. And with many other words, He solemnly testified, and He kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness. Are you thinking about camp? With gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, before this ever took place, you go back to chapter 1, they were gathered there in the upper room. And they were praying. They were expecting God to come. Let me ask you, those who went to camp this year, did you expect God to do something? Of course you did. Did any of you go ahead and pray there and pray over the grounds? Yes, you did. Had you been praying that God would move and would work and marvelous things would happen? Yes. So there was this preparation and expectation. You see, we read this as something that was an event. What I want you to see today, the things as I talk about camp and I compare camp to this that happened at Pentecost, what God intended that to be is normal Christianity. A normal walk of faith. Now, I hasten to say that what I read here is more descriptive than prescriptive. We get in trouble when we try to emulate all the details and forget the move of God and limit God as to how He wants to express something. So we need to look at it in a descriptive manner. As Dr. Luke was describing what was happening under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describing what he saw as he saw this happening. And note that he says there, and with many other words, Peter exhorted him. We were talking about this at early service this morning. Could you put in the English language, describe the work of the Lord in your life? Do you ever feel like you have maxed it out? Oh, I described it today. This is how God worked. Oh man, I nailed it today. You may feel like that today, but by tomorrow, God's going to do something else. You say, man, how did I describe it? How did I describe it to you? You got to be there. You got to experience it for yourself. It's taste. You know, like that scene in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You know, Delmar's out there in the river and he says, come on in, boys, the water's fine. You know, that's what we need to be doing to a world that's dying on the vine. At camp, we saw preparation. We saw an expectancy. Verse 37 says, they were pierced to their heart when they heard the message. I want to ask you, any of you that went to camp this year, were you pierced in your heart? Did He speak directly to you? Anybody? Man, I was just walking by one of the meetings one day and the Lord convicted me about something. Pierced in my heart. In a heart language. It's funny if you've got your ears open, you're expecting to hear. It's funny what you'll hear, isn't it? You're expecting God to speak. Pierced in my heart. When's the last time you've been pierced in your heart? And the Spirit of God brought something to you. Now, when He pierces your heart, is that so as to... Is He just this killjoy that wants to make you feel bad? Why does He pierce your heart? It's for your own good, my own good. Because he wants to draw us to himself. I saw that happen again and again. And you know what? It looked different in every case. One person cries, another laughs. One lays out on the floor. Another one just sits there in quietness. Does that mean any one of those experiences is right and the others are wrong? What does it mean? It means God can speak to you and your personality however you are. Let me give you an example of that. Different personalities. Audrey and I go to a party. There's a big gathering there. She says, Dusty, your goal, every party we go to, is that you're going to shake hands and speak to every single person. I said, I don't intend to do it. She said, it doesn't matter about your intentions, you do it. Every, you know, because I live life as an extrovert. I mean, I love to be with people. You know, I walk it out in the mall. I can strike up a conversation at the food court, stay there half a day, and meet this one and that one. And man, you live in a town like this, you get to know a few people, and I know a few people in Savannah. You know, when we first moved here to start the church, you know where my primary office was? Food court, Savannah Mall. You hang out there, there's no telling how many people you can see. But Audrey, when she goes to a party, she used to try to follow me. It became a frustrating experience. Can I get a witness on that? So what she would do is, suddenly I'd realize she wasn't there. And she had gotten with a group of people, and because she doesn't like the limelight. You know, for years and years, you know, how many years we've been pastoring, huh? People don't, they come to church, they don't know who my wife is. Because she's not out there saying, I'm the pastor's wife, you know. Kind of thing, you know. What I'm saying is, these expressions of your personality, the Holy Spirit and His power manifest in different ways. I saw it at camp. I saw it as those the children, young people, adults, as God's expression was taking place in manifold way. I mean, Tiffany brought a box full of junk up there and threw it out on the table, and you should have seen what these kids made with that stuff. In the eye of the beholder. But how about if the beholder has been pierced through the heart and is beholding Jesus? That ain't Twilight Zone music you're hearing right now. Okay? Peter said, repent. Need to turn around. That's what repent means. Change around. Did we see any of that at camp? You betcha. That is supposed to be the normal experience of the Christian life. Does it stop the moment that you receive Christ in your life? Is that the last time you repent? No. In fact, The scripture says the just shall live by faith. They're Romans. The just, we live by faith. We live by this experience as we renew, as the Lord renews us. He brings us to repentance again about our sin. In fact, that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That was written to Christians. That's not a verse about salvation. That's a verse about sanctification, about growing up in the Lord. We saw that. We saw the Holy Spirit freely given. Whew. Can you describe when the Spirit of God comes? It's amazing to me watch, particularly younger children who haven't been trained in the put the brakes on kind of Christianity, who just, and it's out there. I want to go pray, I run up there and pray. I want to go grab this person, or if I want to dance around when I sing, or if I just want to stand there in awe of the Lord. One of Peter's messages that day was, be saved from this perverse generation. One of the things we reminded the kids of, and Dane wanted, did any of y'all call Dane on Friday morning? Terry did. What'd you tell him? That was his challenge. His challenge to us. Do you want the Lord as much today? Because we go away to the mountaintop. It's a wonderful experience. But there's a time when you go come back down to the valley and you live life. It doesn't mean that the same things that happened there won't happen here. That's the object. And there is a perverse generation. Is after kiddos, I want you to know, I didn't grow up with the things that you are growing up with now. That you could just take one of these or take a phone or whatever and something was just instantly available to you, or that some kind of abuse could take place that quickly. But what that says to us today is that we've got to embrace the work of the Lord even more. If we needed Him badly, when I was a child and growing up in the 50s and 60s, if we needed Him then, wow, today. They received the Word. Their lives were changed. And then it says immediately, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was happening each day at camp? Did you get everything the first day? Second day. There was a continuing of devotion. You know, it happened at the sermon time or testimony time that we had at the evening worship. It happened in the morning time as we worship. It happened in the group time. It happened in the cabins when they're having cabin devotion. It happened in the daily quiet time as they got along with the Lord. It happened spontaneously in other times as you see kids go off to pray together, to seek the Lord together. You see, you're devoting your... That's an active verb. That's something we've got to choose to do where we live. We must devote ourselves. Now think about this for just a moment. Scripture says in Hebrews 10, to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Once a week, we gather together. We're not the type of church that meets you to death. It's simple here. It's not rocket science. It is simplicity here. We gather. But you know what happens when you miss one Sunday of gathering together? You miss 1/52nd of that gathering time on an annual basis with the body. Start adding them up. Which direction does your life have a bent toward? What are you feeding in your life? They were devoting themselves. The thing about camp is, once you make the decision to devote yourself to going to camp, We try to remove all the other distractions. Go off at this nice place. Nice. Thank you, Logan. It's old, it's run down, like my mom and daddy, you know. But you're off, but then you come back and you're living here. Then it's daily. They're distractions. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, the scripture said. We felt that again and again. What's going to happen next? Whose life is God going to move in? What is the Holy Spirit going to unveil today? How is He going to let me see into my life? That needs to be normative in our lives. It's not just some cutesy little camp that kids go off to. It's spending time with the Lord Himself. There's nothing cutesy or diminutive about that. It's the power of God. Signs and wonders took place. I want to ask you folks that went to camp, did you see God do some miraculous things at camp? Was there restoration? Was there reconciliation? Was there salvation? God do those things? Yes, He did. Over and over again. And all those who had believed were together, verse 44, and had all things in common. Again and again, you heard the testimonies. And by the way, Brother Gary put that video together, did that montage, and a superb job with that. What theme did you see developing in that? Love and connection. Awesome. Community. There's this body, this body life, this being together where the Lord erases the differences and melds us into His body. You realize the church is the living, breathing hands and feet, the body of Jesus on this earth. We are His literal body on this earth. That's a privilege and a responsibility. Yet all things come. They began selling the property and possessions, were sharing them with one another, as anyone might have need. The sharing that takes place, the voluntary sharing. As we come together and we give ourselves to one another. As we give ourselves to the Lord. And day by day, continuing with one mind. One mind. I have no words of explanation for that. Continuing in one mind. Breaking bread from house to house. Taking the meals together. And as you're referring to having communion and then eating together, different schools of thought on that, but yes and yes. Because that's exactly what was happening. They were experiencing the presence of God. There was something about a meal that draws people together. Well, we at camp, those of you that have been there, you know that little crammed place where we eat. And we can never get everybody in there at the same time. So there's this fluid nature, and you can't hear yourself think in there. It's so loud. But the conversations that are going. But when I listen to it, what I hear is heavenly music. It is the music of the Lord. This oneness, this body life. There was gladness and sincerity of heart. I want to ask you that went to camp this week, did the Lord reveal anything to you in your heart? Did He change anything in you? Which I would say, if you mean business with God, He'll mean business with you. But can't that happen here as well? And finally, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Looking for somebody. Oh, yes. Anthony. Now, talking about having favor. Now, there's some camps I've been to, they were glad to get rid of us. And said, phew, get rid of those people, get them out of here. And they made a mess. Anthony got an air-conditioned call to go out to the camp. But he was out there Friday after we left. What did the director say, Anthony?
Which part?
About us.
He said that, you know, they have a lot of camps that come in and go out, and that the Spirit of God's always at Pinora. You know, he's a Christian man, obviously, and he believes that he always feels the Spirit of God, but whenever we come in, he says he just feels it in abundance, that he feels us bringing in the Spirit of God. And then as we go, the Spirit of God doesn't leave the place, but there's almost like a vacuum that he feels Sycamore take it with us and take it, you know, to our everyday lives. And he said that like no other camp that goes there, he feels the camp, just the whole grounds, the literal ground we walk on, the buildings we go into, he feels the whole place just kind of breathe a sigh of relief that something powerful just came in and happened, and that, you know, it's waiting for the next year to come.
It's the power of God. What I wanted you to hear in that especially was that the part about leaving and taking the power of God with you. Listen to me. There is nothing special about those buildings at camp or Pinora. There is something absolutely special about the work of God and what He chooses to do. I'm going to give you a testimony about the place. First time I ever went there, I said this last week, I was the Savannah Baptist Association bought that camp in 1967. Our church had a retreat up there. I've been on retreats before to wonderful places. We went to that place, and I want you to know, for years after that, I was wondering, is this place ever going to be one of those places where you feel the presence of God? What I realized over the years was what God was teaching me was not about the place, but about me. What about me? Am I willing to let the Spirit of God move in my life such that I will have favor? I wanted you to see that that's a great thing when the camp director, the guy that has to clean up after you, loves you. Year after year after year, loves you. Brother Johnny Hathaway loved us before Kevin loved us. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. In His Spirit. Listen to me clearly. Do you want to see Pentecost break out in Savannah, Georgia? Do you want to see experience like we had a camp break out in Savannah, Georgia? Well, I just gave you the prescription for it. And all I did was read the Bible to you. I read Acts 2 to you. Line upon line. So what you going to do about it? I want to send you out today in its power. Before we can do that, some of us may need to come and spend some time in repentance. Some of us may need to admit, God, you're piercing my heart right now. I need to acknowledge that. Some of us may need to start devoting ourselves to the teaching that the Lord brings and makes available to us. Some of us may need to start spending some time with the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go down to Tybee? I mean, last year I think we baptized like 15 people down there. That was a great time. I don't have any. Wouldn't it be great to baptize 300? Or how about 3,000 down there? Boy, maybe it'd make the news. Okay, let's pray. We're opening the altar right now. You ready to come on while I'm praying. If you want to spend some time with the Lord today. The Lord is speaking to you today. I know He is. I know He is. Lord, early this morning, we invited you to come. Early this morning, we commanded the evil one that he would have no access or authority here on this property. Early this morning, Lord, we said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come in this place today. So we're asking you, Lord, to manifest your presence here now. May we be obedient to you, to what you're saying for us to do. As we open the altar, come, Lord, come. Come right now. Pastors will join me here. The altar's open. Ms. Cerrone has a word for us.
This is just very short, but I just wanted to say how deeply thankful I am to those of you that gave to the scholarships for kids to be able to go. I know one young lady that would not have been there without that. We would not have been able to have all of my children there if not for that. And I think you've seen the investment that it made, and it's not just in these young kids' lives, but it's in God's kingdom. And so I just really, really wanted to thank you for helping make the scholarships possible for some of our kids to go.
Now I'm going to prophesy over you right now, okay? This is serious business. Before this day ends, you're going to have an opportunity to deal with and apply what you have heard today. You say, well, Dusty, that you could make that about anything. This is a very specific thing. Before this day ends, you're going to have to deal with the truth of the Scripture that you heard. It's going to, may come in a circumstance, in a situation in your home, at Walmart, driving down the road, an old friend. The Lord says, my word will not return void. And I'm saying that out loud right now. Okay? Do you receive this word? Okay. I'd like to hear your testimony of how God works through that. Shoot me an email, okay, or a text. Or if you don't have a working phone, a carrier pigeon. They roost at my house too. Okay? All right? Anything else? Brother Dane, got anything else? Y'all look like a singing group over there. I send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of Jesus our Savior, and under the authority of our Father, Yahweh. Amen.